Greetings in the Lord. Another precious day our Lord is giving us. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem, the section, the Paradise of the Lord. Chapter 56, Unstopping the Flow. Scriptures. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. Psalms 37, verses 9 to 20. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Matthew 27, verses 35 to 45. Footnote from Ken. I see a disparaging between the four Gospels. It says here that the two thieves cast things into Jesus' teeth, accusing him, but we know that one was repentant. End footnote. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah 53:7-8. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 3 to 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 19. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld the Lord Jesus Christ suffering upon the cross. Around him were the children of Israel, even those who bore his name, each one contributing to the pain of the crucifixion process by disparaging him and ridiculing him and calling him false. They accused him continually as he hung upon the tree and said to him that he was not the Lord, because he could not save himself from the cross. As I beheld the people of God casting these evil words up unto Jesus, I saw his countenance change, being taken in very close by the Spirit to the suffering body of the Lord. I saw that his visage, the pure facial expression of Jesus, and the center of his being, from whence his life force flowed, changed. His visage changed. The image of the suffering Jesus changed, and I saw lives therein, lives of they who would suffer as he did, who would die as he died, who would be as he was, not saying any words to deliver themselves or justify themselves or say unto anyone who they truly were, so that they could be delivered from the cross. I saw that the face changed and the torso of the body change all through time and all through the ages, before and after the literal crucifixion of Jesus, to include all they who would be counted as overcomers, each one in particular shared in the fellowship of his sufferings. And vision. Second vision. I beheld another vision. This time I saw Golgotha, the place of the skull. Upon its blood-stained solid stone structure stood the company of the overcomers. Each one had come out from systems and from places and from various time frames in history to stand upon this place wherein our Lord was crucified. Each one stood separate with the word of the Lord in their hearts. There were in their midst several empty crosses, waiting for the impaled ones to be upon them. Those who would suffer crucifixion and who would die to this world upon the cruel trees which were set up for this purpose. Then I saw the heavens open above them and beheld the Lord upon his throne. He sat with his great power and glory above this scene, and he was indeed Lord over them all. However, what I saw next was rather peculiar. For I saw the Lord do a work that was very different from what I had seen before. In the midst of the overcoming company were a very small few, choice ones, who had indeed been cast aside, and who indeed knew nothing of the fellowship of man to man, or group to group, but they surely did not fit into any other place or time, even in the midst of the entire overcoming group. The Lord then upon his throne reached down with rays of glory, and with these rays of glory drew a few certain ones up, out, away from the rest of the overcomers, and caused them to be impaled upon crosses. They were lifted by the glory of the Lord only as high as the cross beams of these crosses stuck into the stone of Golgotha. These few, taken out of the midst of the rest of them, were crucified and died, being rejected and despised, even from those who had the word of the Lord in them, and were held in high esteem as true people of the Lord. These who were held in high esteem, and who were commonly recognized as overcomers, did not go to crosses. They simply stood alive in the world and on Golgotha, but they never had any impaling. Only those who were the absolute rejects of this group were impaled by the Lord, who drew them to crosses. There they died. End second vision and visions. The living waters of the Spirit of the Lord will flow in unmeasured volume through the lives of they who have partaken of the cross. They follow the pattern Son, even Jesus, who first laid out the course for this to happen. Jesus was the first one to set the example, being a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, then later through his actual passion. He is indeed the spring of living water, but first he suffered the cross. There is a peculiar working that is being worked in the lives of the true overcomers in this hour, a working which is unparalleled except in the example of Jesus, a work which is practically playing out in this present world and which must be done before he appears. For the overcomers, they who are not known to be persons of value, are coming now into a place of suffering silence. The true overcomer has the following two things happening right now in this present time we are in. Number one, they are losing any reputation they may have had or hope to have. And number two, they are suffering total rejection, and they can't say a word about it to anyone. There is in the company of overcomers a few who have learned to release the baggage of the past. Realms of Babylon that they came out of are now completely being torn out of them. The Babylon that was in them is fast leaving them, because they are about to suffer the final pains of crucifixion. We have not yet seen the total working of the cross in our individual lives. The pain of complete disqualification for the prize and the pain of total rejection is the portion of just a very small group in the midst of the overcoming company. For there is in the group that has come out unto the Lord alone an even smaller group, the last 300 of Gideon's army, those who ingested the waters the correct way in a defensive position, who did not do so without guarding the integrity of their faith. There is in the company of those who are waiting for the future of the Lord a group within this group who will suffer as no one has since Jesus. Gone from them is any desire or hope of holding fast to anything in this present world. They only see Jesus, and they want to be as he was and is in this present world. Right under the noses of the rest of the overcoming company is a small group of individuals who will lead the way in the completion of the death process. These will die first. Die to this world totally. Die to their own life totally. Die to the disparaging of those in the very same company as they are, who disqualify them from the prize. We are in a time when the people of the Lord think that no harm can come to them, that no death is possible, because Jesus is their propitiation. No suffering more can be their portion, because suffering is a thing belonging to the past, to that which once was, to that which died with Jesus upon the cross. I say unto you that these will not finish their course. They will not finalize the will of God, will of the Lord in their lives. Instead, these will find themselves having yet to learn what it means to enter the fellowship of his sufferings. For Jesus gave us a pattern. It is a pattern to be followed, and that pattern causes your life, as it is now, to be removed from you. The prosperity messages of today won't get you through to the finish line. The message of total completion will leave you undone. Under the noses of those in our midst who are so high in the things of the Lord shall you die the cruel death of the cross. And these who see you die there will be the ones causing your death to happen. They will think they do God a service by rejecting you. To those who do not fit in anywhere, those now whereof I do speak, the cross is being applied right now in present tense to the true overcomer, and they cannot say a word about it. This cross comes as a rejection against their very soul. It comes as that which is cast into their teeth, a disparaging, a true and a pure hatred against them, and it is a hatred done in the name of the Lord. I have had people walk away from my life and work in the Lord because they think that it is finished. And using the word of God skillfully, they reveal to me that this work is indeed done from the foundation of the world. Try telling that to someone who is literally living this death process. Those who are learning what it means to suffer with Jesus know that it is finished, and now it is being worked out. This literally will happen. You will be cast aside as vain and useless. The Lord is requiring of the overcomer a pure and a true obedience. The things we go through seem like it would take our very life, and the reason for it is so we will have no power to wound nor offend. George Houghton. But oh, the offense and the woundings that are ours to bear, even from those who should know better. The false accusations, all of them, based on lies. False assumptions and judgments, based on what they see outwardly, not the inward Christ who is calling us to this same suffering. It is in this that mercy seems to disappear, that judgments of the Lord upon the natural thinking mind give no place for personal safety. All we have become a sacrificed life. If you think that there is nothing more to walk out because Jesus did it all, think again. Those that overcome, obey the Lord in this crucifixion process. We are in perilous times because the cross is discarded. Men reason what is right in their minds and then set up their belief as if it were an idol in their thinking. They do not know that the true fellowship of the Lord in their hearts, and they do not know when he is speaking. A cross experience will then come to them, and they will reject bearing it. For they who have lost everything, the nails are presently being pounded in. Your hands and your feet are bearing the same wounds as Jesus bore, and you will share in the fellowship of his death. This is indeed the true hour for this to happen to those who cannot defend themselves. The Lord is most earnest when he desires to restore all things and redeem all things. And to do that, he will have a company of soldiers from whose bellies will flow forth unabated the living waters of his Spirit. These waters will never flow pure and in infinite volume from anyone who has not first partaken of the full suffering of the cross. We will restore this world, reconcile this world, and bring this world into the fullness of the kingdom of God as we first relate to the suffering of the cross. This suffering right now comes as total rejection, total disdain, total refusal of your calling. No one who comes to flow the unbounded waters of life from under the threshold of the throne of the Lord will do so unless they have completed their crosses. And dear reader, dear overcomer, the cross is not yet done for us. Amazing to know that in the midst of all they who came out of all other things are a very small few who don't even fit in with what they came out. They fit in with no one. I care not for your station in life. If you are rich or poor, sick or healthy, fit or weak, if you are here or there, in whatever nation you abide, it matters not. The Lord will arrange circumstances to take your life away from you. You will lose all your life, all your desire, all your hope, all your dreams for a life in this world vanish when this kind of cross is laid upon you. These vanish away and perish. You end up with only the cross, only the hope that is set before you once it is completed, and only that which gives you a life laid down with nothing more to bring. A life emptied of all that could have been by your own efforts becomes a life that has nothing to offer the Lord except that breath of life that is in you. Think it not strange, this fiery trial that is to try you. How perilous this hour we are in. Men have cast off true brethren by false judgment. Men have done the worst sin that can ever be done. They protect their self-life and then hate those who don't. In total ignorance, they crucify the true, casting them into the place of useless efforts and vain attempts at a righteous standard. These, thus cast aside, become true soldiers of the cross, bearing this rejection as the impaling of the nails and as the shedding of their very own blood. This is a real happening, in real time. It is working in the lives of but only a few, a very small few, who know the pain of being cast out. False words against them, false judgments against them, false prophecy and words of knowledge. Entire groups sounding in the chorus of your disqualification. Entire realms of those who are high up in the things of the Lord become those who nail you to the tree. It is in the midst of all of these that you are completely rejected and crucified, just as Jesus was, and forsaken by all men. Even his own disciples rejected him. So too, for this select few out of the midst of all they who have come out to this new walk in the Lord, there are some who first will enter this painful process and who will die, rejected and alone by those who should know better. These then share in the words of Jesus, who said that all men forsook him. These know the very same thing and suffer the very same rejection. They do not enjoy this cross. They know it hurts, but it's theirs for the sake of breaking up the stopped-up earth to allow the artesian well of the waters of life to begin their flow to restore this creation. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the overcomers are overcomers from the foundation of the world. If the overcomer is presently suffering the pain of crucifixion, then you know that they were appointed to this from the foundation of the world. If they are not suffering the pain of crucifixion, then they were never called to be overcomers from the foundation of the world, and they will not overcome. It is just that simple. If you are in this group, you are indeed a very honored person in the sight of the Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.